welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode number 183. Is that right?
It is.
Of the Self-Help Podcast.
It is, if you can.
With me, Ed Lamb and Sean Orford. I'm finished on my brownie. How are you doing?
You haven't choked to death yet.
Well, you snubbed. I offered a brownie to you.
You just went a bit blue when you ate one this year.
Yeah, they've been there. They've been sitting there a bit longer than I thought. Actually.
I think when you scraped the mould off, they were fine.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all good for you, isn't it? Builds your immune
system. Better soon, that's it.
You okay? How's drinks?
Very good. Just drinking your coffee. Very good.
We're talking about information overload this week, aren't we, on the show? Which I'm sure is relevant for, well, the two of us and for pretty much everyone listening, I would have thought, because you're listening to this via, who knows, iTunes, the website. If you're on the website, you've got your fingertips on the kind of everything ever written, documented, published in human history.
I wonder how many people that are reading this are actually sat down reading this, listening to this, are actually sat down listening to it, or are they multitasking, doing other things
doing
as well?
Working as well, or who knows what.
Yeah.
Doing the cleaning, maybe sitting on a beach. We get messages from people all the time about how they listen to the show.
Yeah. I love the lady who listens to this when she's swimming.
Yeah.
With waterproof goggles on.
That was one of the best, actually.
Not goggles, earphones.
Yeah.
You need waterproof goggles, of course, isn't it?
There is an accompanying blog post, if reading is more your thing. Go to liveinthepresent.co.uk for the blog post for that. All previous episodes as well, and all blog posts are online there. Sign up for the email newsletter.
Yeah.
Again, do so with caution. We don't want you to we don't want you kind of with like 1,000 emails unread, that little red icon on your phone, stressing you, worrying you. But yeah, if you fancy it and you do appreciate this show, check it out.
Yep.
123 Friday as well, must mention that. Our partners, if you want to support the show in a small way, then sign up to 123 Friday via our website. It's a handy little app that backs up your photos, videos and contacts on your phone so that they're safe and sound forevermore for just £10 a year. Not too shabby, eh?
Yeah, very good.
How you been? You okay?
I'm good.
Anything exciting to report?
I'm good. We're doing a mindfulness teacher's training course, which is quite fun to do.
Sure, right, yeah, I remember you saying about this.
Yeah, so we become registered internationally as teachers of mindfulness.
Do you get some extra letters after your name or anything like that?
No, I can't fit any more on the paper. It's good. It's great for me to be a student and to not be the teacher, which is good. That's fun. It's nice to be done to rather than being the doer kind of thing.
So your ego isn't quite so big that you can. You're not willing to learn more things.
No! I think
ripe old age, eh, Sean.
Yeah. Definitely ripe. The Ramji used to say to me, "Everybody you meet is a guru if you approach it in the right way."
Yeah.
And I think that from that point of view, it's just lifelong learning. We can all do lifelong learning.
I certainly sign up to that. Let's learn some, shall we? Oh, before we tackle this information overload question. There are a lot of blog posts, articles online that I was looking at before we came on air, offering tips and advice, and we'll go through some of those tips in today's show on how to kind of manage this information overload, which we've built for ourselves. But my question early on is, should we be managing this, or do we need more extreme action as a species and as a kind of Western civilized way of doing things? Do we need to cull big time?
I would go with yes.
Okay. Ignore everything we're about to say.
Yeah. Just stop it.
Just switch everything off. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Go climb a tree or something like that.
But that's the crazy thing is every time you see somebody going for a walk, they've got their headphones in and they're either listening to something or talking to somebody or kind of they're reading their screen.
Yeah. Do you know what? I caught myself yesterday. I don't want to get too lurid. But I went, as most people do, a few times a day. I went to the loo yesterday.
No.
And I sat down, and the first thing I did, like, I went to reach for my phone as I sat on the loo. I just thought to myself, what are you doing, Ed? You're going to be sat here for, I won't go into too much detail.
As long as you don't get confused and wipe your mum with the wrong thing.
You know, it's going to be there, Max, you know, a minute or two. Like, why can't I just sit here in peace?
Yeah.
And why am I reaching
sit here
my
in peace?
Do I need to... All right, I'm regretting using this analogy already. Why am I reaching for my phone? Why do I need to check Instagram? Do I need to check Twitter for what's happening in the last 60 seconds?
Yeah.
You know, it's very clever what these... the devices we use and we interact with, whether you're working, you know, email on your laptop or whatever, they're amazing devices and incredible scientific inventions. But they are super, super addictive, aren't they? You know, I'm not immune to that. I know you're not. With your, you've got your smartwatch on, you've got your iPad Pro, you've got your iPhone 6, whatever it is, 6
but
Plus.
But the thing is, I don't spend my life glued to them. They're tools.
Whenever I see you, you've always got one in front of you.
Well, I always wear my watch.
We went out for dinner on Friday night with pals, and you had your iPad out on the table.
That was to show a photograph. That was research and development.
You weren't checking notifications and stuff?
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
No. I'm the person that people say, will you respond to my message? Because they're uptight. You know, and because I won't go onto my phone during the day at all because I'm seeing people.
Yeah.
And I will be aware of the fact that it's gone off and there are messages there, but I might not actually see them for 24 hours, depending on what's going on.
Yeah. Well, in between, we've recorded two episodes here, back-to-back in the office. And in between episodes, I had the really crazy and quite bad idea of refreshing my emails just to see what had come in between recording the first show, and 8 messages had come in from clients of stuff I'd done in the morning, and it's just added this little layer of stress, which I'm sure isn't coming across as I just talk to you now peacefully, but I know that as soon as you go, I've got stuff to do.
Why did I hit
refresh? Why did I add that extra layer?
But if you think about the idea of choices, you know, in the day when there was one television channel or maybe two or three, the choice of what we were going to watch was relatively simple.
Yeah.
You know, either watch that or that. Okay, that's an easy decision. If I've got 100 or 200 or 300 channels to choose from, then the information processing I have to do is enormous.
Yep.
Yeah, and just that processing is stress in itself. Yeah, if I go to a restaurant and the choice is between that and that, that's an easy choice. If I go to a restaurant and there's hundreds of options, then it becomes stressful. And one of the problems for us human beings is our success is also our failure. Our success is our stress. You know, if you've got a decent pair of shoes on that work, that are comfortable, that keep the outside out and the inside in, you've got a pair of shoes that work. You know, when you start to think, well, actually, I need another pair of shoes and another pair of shoes and another pair of shoes, and then I need a bag to go with the shoes and then a coat to go with the bag. And then we start to develop this need for all this stuff, which in the end just becomes stress, because to get that stuff, I need to create the money. I haven't got the money. I need to do the credit. I've got the cards. You know, it compounds one thing on top of another.
Yeah, well, my stress levels are rising just hearing that. And you go into you go shopping, which actually we don't go food shopping now. We do it online, in the app.
Yep.
But if you do go into a supermarket now, there's a ridiculous amount of choice.
Everything. When we did Hygge, the idea of in Denmark there's only like 10 varieties of bread as opposed to 50 in Britain.
You know? Yeah, I mean, and we have it in Britain because obviously we want that choice. You know, people have it's evolved and it's. The shopping experience has grown because people like choice. It might not be that great for us, and it might be causing us damage, ultimately. But, I mean, my initial tip is to reduce choice in your life. You don't need that much choice. So I actually think online shopping for food is a really good thing, because I'm not standing in an aisle. For a start, I'm not kind of making that trip to go to the shops, to take my car there and stand and get in a queue with a load of people and be bombarded with too much choice and offers. You do it on your little app on your phone. You search for bread. Bread comes up. You chuck it in. You're not in this kind of vast warehouse of who knows what.
Mm.
So, yeah, online shopping is my initial one.
Yeah, but if that makes your life simpler, you just de-stressed a whole section.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to go to Aldi on a Monday night after work, before pre-kids, and it was reasonably stressful. It took, you know, an hour and a half, and then we'd have to get the bags in the car, take the car home, get the bags from the car to the flat, unpack it all. You know, by that time it's like seven, half seven. We've had a full day in work. Yeah, now it's much less stressful to be doing it, whatever.
There was always a movement to declutter, to de-stress, to simplify, to get rid of, you know, to go through your attic and everything you haven't used for the last year, to get rid of it, all that kind of stuff, and to just simplify your life down. One of the things throughout evolution is that the more stuff that we've had, the more security we need to keep it, the more insurance you need in case you lose it or you break it, and it all compounds on itself, one thing on top of another. If you have very few things, you have very few things to worry about. Yeah, you may have some emotional issues to worry about, but in that material, physical sense. And that reduces your stress levels a huge amount.
Yeah, I mean, we're running a big experiment at the moment, aren't we? I mean, our brains in the last 200 years, in the last 50 years, 60 years, whatever, well, we're still kind of running this experiment without knowing what the results will be, aren't we? But, I mean, if you think throughout human history, let's say, whatever, 10,000 years... recent-ish history, and in the last 50 or so, we've just kind of exploded, haven't we, with the technology.
And how often does computer power double? Is it every 8 months or a year? Or
I think it's every couple of years.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
So every 2 years, the computer that you have will be twice as powerful every 2 years.
I might be wrong on that, but it's something
like that. Yeah, but it's growing at an exponential rate.
Yeah.
And then does it get to the point... I mean, I know that this phone here that I've got, it'll come up for renewal. And each time I've renewed it, as it's come up. But I can't actually think of any reason why I would want more than what I've got. I mean, it does more than what I've got.
Well, phone suppliers, I'm an iPhone guy as well, but they're kind of... They seem to be reaching a point now where they're kind of trying too hard to add new features to sucker people in to upgrade every 2 years. So I didn't actually last time. I had my last phone for 4 years, and it was fine. Even when I got rid of it, actually, I got rid of it more because it was just kind of had a decent resale value. So before it kind of dropped off the cliff, I got rid of it and bought a new one.
The thing that was good about this
will really hopefully do me for another
screen size. Like yours is small, isn't it? And I find that easier to... Because I find that I've got some kind of fingeritis, that my fingers are too big for the keyboard on the little screen.
Oh, right. You've got screen. Homer Simpson, your fingers are too fat for this phone. Please hang up and try again.
That's the one I got, yeah. So it's actually easier, that. But having got that... you can even have a keyboard on this, so you can be... Using it as a computer, really.
Yeah, no, they're incredible devices, aren't they? And I mean, you've got to respect and appreciate the process that humanity has kind of gone through to get to that point in terms of scientific development. And, you know, part of me thinks, yeah, let's just go for it and see where it takes us, because I don't think there's much we can do anyway. We're on this kind of conveyor belt, aren't we? And we're just kind of racing towards some future. Who knows what it may be. But personally speaking, and in terms of our everyday lives, there are things we can do to calm things down a bit and just kind of extend our lives and appreciate things a little bit more rather than being constantly just looking for that next notification.
It's weird the way that we create our own stress, though. The drive to have new things, you know, whether it's, you know, in the home, in the wardrobe, in the kitchen, whatever it is, the drive to have new all the time and more all the time. We're creating our own stresses.
Yeah.
You know, previous generations, if they had a saucepan, they'd have that saucepan for the whole of their lives. You know, a knife they'd have for the whole of their lives. And we replace things.
Yep.
Both structural things and movable equipment all the time. But why do we do that? Why do we do that? People would have shoes and have them soled and healed and keep going, rather than new pair of shoes.
Yeah, I was reading an article recently about how the Swedish government have given a big tax break for companies that can repair things to encourage less consumerism and less kind of, you know, this throwaway society.
Interesting. What kind of things are you talking about?
Well, anything. Well, yeah, they were talking about shoes and clothing and things like that. Yeah. Basically, trying to encourage a generation of people that will go into business to repair things So like for washing machines and vacuum cleaners, where at the moment it's so cheap just to, it's cheaper to buy a new one or take a small hit on buying a new washing machine for 200 quid, 300 quid, where it might cost you, I don't know, 150 quid to repair it. But it's 10 years old, so, I'll just spend a bit more, get a new one. Things like that are tricky, but we've got to try something, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think.
I spoke to an Armenian years ago who had been living in Iraq, and he said to me, you don't see rubbish tips and scrapyards and things in Iraq. And I said, why? And he said, because we reuse everything. And nothing gets wasted, it all gets reused.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way to be. And when you go to the tip now, I do trip tips every now and again.
Tip trips.
And the amount of stuff that people are chucking away. Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, same here. I mean, Will goes to school every day on a bike that a friend of ours found being chucked into the tip. That was all right. Had a couple of little bashes here and there, but he said, I know someone like that. He said, do you mind if I have it? And the guy said, no, Will uses it every day. Like, it's his main method of transportation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it'll get passed on to little Jakey when his legs are a bit longer as well.
Yeah.
And then wonder what we'll do when Jake's at it. You know, I've got a nephew now who maybe we can chuck it onto him.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember the band Free that did All Right Now?
Okay, another tune, yeah.
The bass player, Andy Fraser, used to live on the same council estate that I did.
Oh, yeah?
And I bought my first bike off him when we were kids.
Yeah.
And that bike had probably been through a dozen people by the time he got to me. And it went on after me. It was sold on to other people.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I've got a second-hand bike as well, which I swapped with a pal recently because the one I'd been given by my dad, his old bike, a bit too big for me, wasn't quite right. And I met this guy and he wasn't quite happy with his bike, a bit taller than me, so he said, should we swap?
Yeah.
Tried it out for a few weeks. He was happy, I was happy. Now I'm
buzzing
around doing 8-9 miles a day on his bike and he's doing the same on mine, so it's cool.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do my bit here and there. In terms of we create busy lives, we talked about it a few weeks ago in the whole winter blues thing about how this time of year is quite stressful for people, isn't it? Because there's a lot to organise. We've all got family events, work to do before Christmas so we can have a bit of time off, so there's a bit of ramp up of pressure. I mean, I think about my own life and how much I've got going on in terms of constantly checking emails. I work for I've got a client list of, maybe 15, 20 clients that I'm working for at any one time, and I've got to know their business really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 20 businesses that I need to know well enough to be able to make decisions for them on design and what have you. And then I've got obviously where the kids are going to be, dropping off at grandparents, what time they finish school. Oh man, childminders. A lot going on in our heads, aren't there? Which 200 years ago, life was a lot simpler.
Yeah.
But the payoff, we're living like kings, aren't we, now, obviously, compared to then. But
yeah. But if you look at the physiology of someone's brain, the guy that was riding a horse and cart up the road 100, 150 years ago, the guy that's driving a jumbo jet, the brain's no different. And yet there's a massive amount of information that we have to use.
All those buttons, yeah.
I'm doing a blog here, and there's different bits I'm going to pick up on. But the idea that food is good for you, that people get obsessed and
stop compulsively learning is the subtitle of that.
Yeah, it's this thing that we got to learn. And there's nothing wrong with learning new things to grow, but when we learn new things because they're anxiety provoking, it's a bit like avocados are the superfood at the moment. So everybody's eating avocados till they come out of their ears.
Yeah.
The problem is that in other parts of the world, they're destroying the habitat and the forest to grow avocados to feed this compulsive need that people now have to eat avocados. So people's desire to eat avocados that's supposed to make them healthier is actually making the planet less healthy, because we're destroying the forest that are the lungs of the planet. It's one of the, it goes round in circles, it goes bonkers.
Yep.
Whereas if you eat a diet, which we should all be eating really, and I'm saying that and I don't do it, but we should do this, is that if you eat macrobiotically, you eat the food that grows around you.
Yeah.
You know, you eat the food so that you're not eating strawberries at Christmas because they're not in season.
Well, you know what I said earlier on about the online shopping thing, and I can see, with the major drawbacks of that as well, whereas there's a lovely farm shop around the corner from us.
Yeah.
Claremont Farm. Yeah. Where, Flippin' heck. Yeah.
I mean, but is all their food grown there, or does it...
I need to check. I'm not sure.
I wonder whether they're actually importing stuff.
Yeah, I need to go and have a chat with them, actually, and see. I'm sure, I mean, they have a big push on, you know, fresh local produce and all
sure,
that.
Yeah.
And the butcher's in there as well. It's a local butcher, so it would be interesting to know how far things have to travel. I mean, they have the kind of fresh veg section and everything looks muddy and like, ooh, it's fresh. It's got mud on it. It's not in a plastic wrapper. So I'm guessing that certainly will be like UK at the most.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. I need to go and investigate that.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, what's that stop compulsively learning thing? Because we do talk about learning as a lifelong...
But there's a difference between learning Spanish for the fun of learning Spanish. And what this is about here is about learning about food. You know, because if I start to get obsessed... Do you know the idea that... I can't remember the actual stats, but it's something like... People that take lots of food supplements tend to live about 5 years less than people that don't.
Really?
Yeah, and it's because the issue that's at play is anxiety.
Right.
The reason that longevity is shortened is because people are living in worlds of anxiety, which is why they're so worried
constantly
about their,
checking things too much and worrying about vitamin levels and getting on with
there's,
it.
There's an idea here. You see, that spinach is really good for you, but actually if you eat too much of it, the oxalate in it will actually give you kidney stones.
Okay.
And that's true with things like vitamin C. If you take too much vitamin C, it actually crashes your kidneys.
Right.
You know, but there are people that would recommend, no, you need to overload on vitamin C when you've got a cold and all that kind of stuff. Is it actually doing you any good?
Yep.
Whereas to eat a normal diet and to exercise a bit and to be kind of healthy and moderate is probably the best that you're going to get.
Yep. Because, I mean, there's all sorts of fads that you'll see nutritionists and personal trainers going through, and you'll see all the stuff on Facebook. Like coconut milk is a big one at the moment. But when you think about it, well, in terms of the environmental impact, where is that coconut milk come from? What, you know, how much land has had to be cleared of?
Yeah.
Forests and natural habitat. This is the whole information overload thing, isn't it, I guess? So rather than worrying about the environmental damage, just stick to the basics of not worrying too much about nutrition from that point of view and just kind of shopping locally. But
we know that if you just eat a generally balanced diet, you're going to be naturally healthy. You know, if you get too obsessed with anything, then it doesn't work. It doesn't. Your system needs to be in balance. We're omnivores. Mm. You know?
I try and find time, and I know you do, each year or every, you know, a good few times a year to unplug completely from the world, which I can thankfully do relatively easily because we've got a big caravan up in the northeast of England where we can go, and there is actually 3G now, but there's no electricity supply at the caravan, so... There comes a point when we have to be quite careful on how you use your device. So my phone is my camera, really, so I'll switch it to airplane mode for most of the day so I can take photos without worrying the battery's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on if I've got any clients really pushing for stuff, I might check my emails, you know, at the end of the day.
We ended up at that cottage, Rhea and I, when I did the conference down in South Wales. We ended up in a cottage for a long weekend. So there's no telephone signal, no mobile signal, no television signal. There was nothing. There was electricity and...
Electricity? Wow.
There was electricity and, and water from a spring.
Mm.
And that was it. There was some central heating, which was an oil-fired thing. Cottage in the middle of nowhere. And we were programmed to think we would need to watch things or do things... we took laptop and lots of DVDs and stuff in case we... And we actually didn't use any of them. And it was really, really nice just to be offline.
Wow.
Off-grid, you know. And like, no one could get to us. You could actually get a signal if you stood on the bed and you extend your arm right up into the rafters. You could just get about a 3G signal, but you had to kind of be on tiptoes on the end of the bed. You know, and it was great. It was good. And I think, I need to go there again.
Yeah.
You know.
It takes a while, doesn't it, to kind of slip into that, not worrying about not checking stuff and not having things pinged in all the time.
There's a phrase, and I use it in the relaxation stuff, and it wasn't mine. It was passed on to me by other teachers. But that idea that when you're doing a meditation exercise or relaxation exercise, the phrase is, and loads of women have said to me, when you say that phrase, it just gets me there. Is the phrase is, nobody wants anything, and nobody needs anything. All you've got to do is just relax.
Yeah.
And that idea that when you are offline, nobody can need anything, nobody can want anything, because you can't get hold of them, or they can't get hold of you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's quite a magical space to be in, where there is no information to overload on. You know, it's a bit like the news, isn't it? The news used to take, you know, hours, if not days, to get to us, and now we watch it happening.
We watch this stuff happening, almost being a part of it in some kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. We become spectators of the disasters that are happening in the world.
Yeah, or we're all kind of mini film crews and news crews now, aren't we? People live broadcasting things. And I mean, 2016's been a crazy year for news in general, with various things going on around the world. And
and all that stuff in Aleppo, which is still going on, isn't it? And yes, we in many ways, we've been able to get an insight into it that we wouldn't normally have.
Mm.
Which does it make it more real? Or does it desensitise us, like we're kind of watching a film or a video game rather than actually being with the people?
Mm. Just to summarise then, before we go to the resource, I mean, what we're saying, I think, really is... I'm going to link to a couple of blog posts which kind of will give you a few tips on how to conquer or manage information overload. But what we're saying really is that more drastic action is needed on the behalf of everyone listening, assuming that you're struggling with it. Because I know I am personally, and pretty much everyone I know is to one extent or another.
And I think that the thing is that we habitualise to things that we don't realise until later. One of the things that we spoke about in the last, or the one before the last, we were talking about, or I was talking about, how tablets are affecting the brain structure of children. So that we're likely to have a more Asperger's-type society by the time this generation has grown up. Which has all kinds of implications for what's going to happen about social and human interactions, including the children that they have, because those children like to be genetically different because the genes have changed now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't know where this technology takes us. We think that we are observers of the technology, but in the end, we become products of the technology.
Mm.
And we don't know where that goes.
Well, yeah, that's it. We're running this experiment, aren't we? I mean...
Yeah.
There's obviously a lot of people saying that, you know, in the next 15, 20 years, kind of technology and humanity will kind of start to merge as things start, you know, we're getting things like technology in our glasses now and contact lenses and even kind of nanotechnology getting into our bloodstream and for really good healthcare reasons, you know, that can extend our lives. But technology and humanity merging into who knows what, we'll see where it takes us, but...
Mm.
In the meantime, we can all just take a breather, can't we? We can make those choices to just take a step back every now and again and live in the present, I guess, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that it is a decision point for lots of people, but it's a wake-up point. You know, what happens when the machine stops? Because all we need is for there to be a power cut that is sustained for more than a few days. And most people's interactions with the world, all their interfaces, would cease to function.
Yep.
You know, what on earth would people do at that point?
Yeah, it would be... Well, if there was serious power outages like that, I mean, you wouldn't be able to get money out of bank, would you?
No.
You wouldn't be able to transfer dosh around, you wouldn't be able to
You wouldn't be able to use your credit card. You wouldn't be able to... you could still sign a cheque, maybe.
Yeah, you could.
But none of the shops would have any food because they couldn't open the doors because the doors are electric.
All our transportation system would probably...
Yeah.
And kind of that.
You couldn't get petrol at a petrol pump.
No. Food wouldn't be able to transport it around, so... Nope.
We're so dependent on that one thing. If that one thing stopped, all this clever stuff that we've got would go immediately.
Mm.
Crazy.
Interesting times. Okay, have you got a resource for the week?
Well, my resource for the week is take some time out. How about you have an experiment where maybe as a family, like one of those programs they have on the telly now where they take people back to the 1950s or the 1930s or something and they get them to live for a week or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, how about for a weekend you actually saw what it was like to get rid of all your technology, to turn everything off? No radio, no television, no phones, nothing. And just lived as a family and maybe did things like played games together and read books and
blimey,
and did other stuff and just didn't have any technology and see what a difference that made to your life.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm sure that first off, there's a kind of a withdrawal feeling that, you know, and fear.
Yeah.
But once you're into it and the bombardments have stopped, I wonder how different that would be.
That would be an interesting experiment to run, hey?
Yeah.
But we can all do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we would gain a lot of benefit from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a TED Talk, so assuming you've got access to electricity at the moment. It's quite a witty one, actually, by a guy called James Veitch. The agony of trying to unsubscribe. So he's a guy, he's done a couple of funny, witty TED Talks where this one particularly, he's basically trying to unsubscribe from a dodgy mailing list, but having a bit of fun with it. But yeah.
I guess I should stick another resource on top of that, now that you mentioned that, is I have an app on my system called Unroll Me.
Uh-huh.
Which is really good because what it does is it presents me each week with a list of all the people that I appear on their list. They've got me from somewhere. And all I do is just press unroll, and it just deals with it and just takes me off every list.
I'm very particular about what emails I get sent from companies and what have you. So.
But it's great. I mean, and there are some weeks when the world's been mad and it might unroll me from 12 things that I've been signed up on by something else. You know, it's all that kind of stuff.
It's fighting the battle for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. All right. If there's something you would like us to discuss on the show, a pertinent topic or who knows what, drop us an email via the website livingthepresent.co.uk and we'll put it on the list. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Do send us a message there as well, and there's constant updates going on there. Next week we're talking about Christmas games, I believe, Sean.
Yeah, which is an alternative to technology, maybe.
Okay, that will be an interesting one.
Ho, ho, ho.
Indeed. Well, let me go out just before Christmas. I'm trying to figure out when we're recording.
It's working up that way.
Yeah, we're getting there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Cool. Check out the website, livingthepresent.co.uk. If you have got space for more emails in your inbox, sign up to the forum and we'll send you weekly alerts when the show goes online. Take care till then.
And you?
Sure, take care.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
See you.